This is the Automotive Repair Podcast Network.
Welcome to another episode of Business by the Numbers. I'm your host, Hunt Emrys, CPA with Parmelis & Associates. Is flat rate the devil, or is it the only way that you should pay your technicians? Is it better to incentivize your technicians individually, or will a team-based plan work better for you? I've seen it argued enough times online this week that I figured we should talk about it on here. Tech pay plans and everything else in between is exactly what we're going to dive into this week. Before we get into that, I just want to stop and say thank you to you and the rest of the dedicated listeners. Remember, if you want to hear your question answered on here, or just have a question for me, shoot me an email at podcast@parmelis.com. Don't forget my new book, Beyond the Base, a financial playbook for auto repair shop owners, is available now for download for Kindle or paperback on Amazon. Just a reminder, I have another two books available on there as well, too, if you have not checked those out. Want to talk to me about accounting and tax services for your repair shop? Shoot us a text at 301-307-5413. And last but not least, we cannot forget our dedicated sponsors. If you need to get your parts reconciliation and back office under control, give Wicked File a call. And if you need to recruit top talent for your top shop, give Promotive a call right now. It's time to hire a superstar for your business. What a grind you have in front of you. Great news, you don't have to go at it alone. Introducing Promotive, a full-service staffing solution for your shop. Let them do the heavy lifting and enlist your hiring partner online at gopromotive.com. Turn chaos into clarity with Wicked File, the AI for auto repair shops. Transform invoices into insights, protect cash flows, and stop losing parts, cores, or credits to maximize your bottom line. Get Wicked File. The point of this week's episode, like I said, I saw this argued online. I've seen this talked enough about. I've talked about this before, and again, this is not meant to tell you what works for your shop. Maybe flat rate works for your shop. Maybe hourly or salary works, but kind of some of the intricacies of this stuff. We see hundreds of shops every single month. I've seen good pay plans. I've seen bad ones. And so really what I want you to try and understand here is the intricacies behind this, maybe why you're experiencing some of this, maybe positive or negatives based on current plan you have. And maybe you guys have entertained the idea of switching. Maybe you're flat rate now, want to go to a team-based hourly structure. Kind of go down through a couple different options here. But reminder on this, if you like to hear talk about pay plans, this week we're going to be talking about tech pay plans. Next week, we're going to be talking about the managers. Also, we will be teaching a class at Vision. So Reed Mellis of Parmelis & Associates, the namesake of it, he's going to be teaching a class in Kansas City at Vision this year, all about different types of pay plans for your shop. So this is just a very, very basic scratch of the surface. If you want to hear more about this, stop by in Kansas City. Like I said, even if you have two identical shops on this, they're always going to have different personalities, different skill sets, different age and experience levels. Even if you have two shops right next to each other and say, hey, Hunt, what pay plan works? There are so many variables to this. Like I said, my idea here or my goal is to open your eyes to different things that different shops are doing, some good, some bad. The first thing I want to remind you guys before we get into this stuff is we benchmark all of our shops' clients' data. When we take a look at it, we are looking what our top shops are, what our bottom shops are, what the gross profit and labor rates and everything is for these shops of all different levels. One of the things that we ask you guys is, how do you pay your technicians? How do you pay your advisors? And like I said, next week, we're going to be talking more about managers, advisors, and stuff like that. But on really both categories, half of my top shops are flat rate, half of them are salary and hourly. What does that mean? That means that you probably cannot change your business just on a pay plan alone. There's probably more to this than just what the pay plan is. And really that is, there is humans involved on this. As we'll talk about, we're going to try to get humans motivated. But even with AI and all the stuff nowadays, humans are just kind of strange creatures. You might set up a plan that works for this person. You change ideas on this, get a new person in there, and maybe that exact same plan in the exact same shop with the exact same customers just doesn't work with the new people. Figuring out what makes people tick, figuring out how to get kind of inside their head is what you're trying to do here with a pay plan. Before we get into different pay plans, we need to figure out why we are paying our technicians anything. And this is a conversation that I think has changed over the 20 years that I've been doing this. When you guys first started this business, you guys probably had 98% money motivated technicians. Now, I get it. I'm money motivated. I don't really understand the aspect of doing this if you're not money motivated to a certain extent. But yeah, there's a lot of people in this industry now that are not kind of the classic flat rate technicians. If you go to them and say, I will give you unlimited earning potential, you just got to work until your knuckles are bleeding. Some guys would be like, boss, that's exactly what I want. Those are the cars I want. We're going to be on the same team. If I bill a ton, you're going to bill a ton. Some people want different things. Some people want consistency. Some people want peace of mind. Some people want time off. Again, some of this stuff you guys can deliver. There is tangibles you guys can deliver to them. But what I'm trying to explain here is when you get on through this, a lot of people are going to immediately take this away and saying, all right, this is what I do. This is how I can pay my guys so they're going to make me more money. What you might find out altogether is that this pay plan has nothing to do with the production or lack thereof. People like to oversimplify this and say, hey, if I give that guy more money, he's going to do more work. Like we talked about above on the benchmark report, there has to be a lot more to this. Now, is there going to be some natural thing? If I pay this guy more money, is he going to do more work? Maybe. I've also seen this hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. If you change your pay plan without changing how you're managing these people, how you're talking to these people, how you're operating, you're just changing a pay plan. You're not changing the results. And lastly, before we get into some different options on here, I've had a ton of people switch and actually end up getting worse results. Your flat rate, think that that's the cause of all your concerns here. Go to hourly and your production drops even more. Let's get into it. Everyone's favorite, the one that you guys say you cannot run a shop unless you pay this way, and other people which say that this exact pay structure is ruining the industry. You guys know it. You guys love it. It is flat rate pay. Most popular out there, I will say, we still benchmark our clients. We still look at it as we talk about, especially if you get into kind of the modified flat rate. Majority of shops out there are having their technicians have some sort of control over their paychecks. So if you want to say, what is the average doing? The average shop is paying some sort of variable rate based on how much their technicians bill out. Is it going to be a full flat rate where it's entirely flat rate? There's no minimums and stuff like that? No. Even when you get into flat rate, this stuff is infinite on how many times that you can do this. But the whole idea with flat rate is if I win as an owner, you win as a technician and vice versa. We are motivating these people to do what we want. If I get you to sell more work at $200 an hour, I will pay you more work at $50 an hour. And this is some of the positives of flat rate. It is very, very easy to motivate money-motivated players. Think about that, guys. It is very easy to motivate money-motivated players. I did not say that flat rate motivates everybody. I did not say that switching an hourly guy that has a production issue will increase the production. But naturally, if you have someone that's money-motivated, you are then promoting something or proposing a plan to them where it's, here's a way for you to make more money. As long as you have the cars, as long as you have the demand and the capacity for the shop to produce this stuff, what an awesome opportunity and really kind of a win-win for both parties. Another thing on this is it is very profitable if done correctly. If we go to like an old school flat rate with no guarantees, it is impossible for flat rate to not be profitable. Because if you're selling your labor for $200 an hour, or even $150, or even $140, and you're paying your people $50, with zero minimum, it's impossible for that technician to cost you money. Well, Hunt, he didn't bill me any hours last week. If you are true flat rate and he bills you 0 hours, you owe him zero money. The rub on that one is very, very few people run something with no minimums on it. But again, theoretically, you make a bunch of money if they make money. You don't really lose any if they don't lose any money. Here's one on here that I put on the notes, and I have to be very careful about it, but it says, does not require as much management oversight. This is kind of the crux of the issue here. I saw a lot of guys talk about this, and one guy really, I wish I could remember who it was, but he hit the nail on the head. This has to do with how well you manage. Can flat rate mask a bad manager? Maybe. Can hourly work if you have a bad manager? Almost generally not. But I've seen this go both ways. I have some shops out there that are straight hourly shops, straight salary shops. Every person gets the same amount every single week, and they're at 95% productivity every single week, week in, week out. Some of those I know my client is in there every single day motivating these guys. Other ones, like I said, they just got some unicorns. They got some guys that show up and they do 40 hours no matter what. Will that be the case for you? Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. And the trickier part about this, especially for your larger shops out there, is you might have a mixture of both. You might have some people that are flat rate, some people are hourly. Think about the incentives though, guys, and this is where it all comes back to this. If you put someone on flat rate, they have incentive to do one thing and one thing only. It is to sell work. There is no incentive to clean up. There is no incentive to give a good customer service experience if they have to interact with customers. There's not any incentive for them to cross-train any of the other team members. A little bit tricky here when you go onto the other side of it. Lastly on this one, though, as far as the positives, is it is very easy for these guys to understand. Most of them have been doing this. Most have been doing this for a long time. It is a very, very kind of easy idea of saying, you do this many hours, here's how many I'm going to pay you per hours. They can do this math all alone. As we will talk about, and you guys will hear me repeating this one, I cannot stress this enough. If the technicians don't understand their pay plan, whether it's flat rate, hourly, or some mixture of the two, they won't do anything. Remember, guys, if we could pay our technicians technically $0 and they would produce 100 hours worth of work, don't think about this like a communist or a socialist. You'd be happy. You want to pay these people the least amount as possible for them to do as much as they can. Now, the reality is you want to go above that because you want to make sure you're taking care of them and paying them fairly, because if you try to pay people the least amount possible, you'll be very profitable in the short term and you're going to lose the employee in the long run. But really, guys, I have seen this before. I've seen shops that are paying their technicians in cash because they don't have bank accounts. They are this kind of sophistication on the financial level, but their pay plan was 5 pages of spreadsheets. How are you expecting this guy to change his behavior based on his pay plan if he doesn't even understand the freaking pay plan? Let's go to the negatives of flat rate. And I kind of buried the lead on this one before, but a mixture of the culture side of this one is kind of what incentives this drives. The very nature of the positive of flat rate is probably its biggest downside. You get a financial incentive if you sell more work. Could this increase comebacks in a shop if you're going production over and above what they really should be? Yeah. Is that going to change the environment of a shop if everyone is motivated to get work out the door, not necessarily to be in the door? Yes. Does time off and sick time get very tricky? And some people don't offer this at all. Absolutely right. And kind of goes back to the thing about some bad culture. And lastly on this one, the legality of this stuff can get very tricky on where you live. Short answer is on this one, you cannot do a classic flat rate as we were talking about in California. The longer answer of that is the way that a lot of my clients pay their people in California looks very similar to flat rate, but it's not exactly there. Don't want to kind of mix that up, but after we talk about hourly and salary, I will kind of mention on there of how people do what we call a California flat rate.
Shop owners, are you struggling to find and retain top-tier talent for your automotive shop? Introducing Promotive, on the web at gopromotive.com. With over 40 years of combined industry recruiting experience, we're the ultimate staffing solution. We go beyond traditional agencies. Our team provides dedicated recruiters and account managers advising on processes, compensation, and benefits. We focus on placing technicians and service advisors with shops that offer the best culture, training, and long-term growth opportunities. Trust our experience to match the right talent to your shop. We carefully select shops that value employee excellence and provide an environment for success. Our dedicated team leads the entire process, leveraging our industry knowledge and expertise. Partner with Promotive and experience their advantage to help you build a high-performing team that drives your shop's growth. Visit gopromotive.com today and let us help find and keep the best talent in the industry.
Every month, auto repair shops can lose over $20,000 in uncredited parts, cores, and lost profits. WickedFile's AI-powered software is a game changer. It helped one shop owner recover over $10,000 in missed credits, and others have recovered tens of thousands more. WickedFile puts cash back into your business and hours back into your day. Stop leaving money on the table. Visit wickedfile.com to learn more and get started today. So that's the ins and outs of flat rates. You guys know it. You guys love it. Sometimes you guys hate it, but everyone is probably aware of this. Hourly and salary is really the only other way that you can pay people. Because if you break it down and we expand flat rate into any sort of commission base, You either have a variable cost based on production, or they get the same flat amount based on being in the shop or clocking in. When I first started doing this like 20 years ago, I did not see very many good shops offering this, right? And I'm going to be very clear about this. Did I have shops that were salary and hourly? Yeah, but generally their production kind of stunk and they were never one of my top shops. As we talked about, I mean, I think that there is a shifting of this industry of some of the employees being less straight up money motivated. And that's why we're seeing kind of a cultural shift away from the flat rate. If I have a set example or set hourly target that these guys are going to run, as long as they meet that hourly target, I'll have a given amount that I want to pay them. There's a big argument that salary and hourly is a lot easier for cash flow because you know what it is every single week. Like I said, it's still not the most popular. Flat rate's going to have the nod on this or some sort of nod with commission. But we are seeing more technicians go on hourly. Like I said, we're not talking really about advisors and managers this week. We'll talk about that next week. I generally don't ever see a technician on a salary-based pay plan. So if you think about if you work full-time, hourly or salary, it's the same thing. Salary essentially assumes that they are exempt from overtime. If they are on salary, in 99.9999% of cases, you could be in trouble on overtime. But guys, don't play around overtime. I've warned you before on this one. You can have salaried employees, right? But again, I'm always going to do hourly. Makes it easier for vacations, easier for sick time, easier for everything. Hey, if you're in the building, I'll pay you. If you're not in the building, I'm not going to pay you. As another reminder on this one, guys, if you have like a mostly salary-based plan and you do non-discretionary bonuses, meaning I pay you guys $1,000, but if you hit this dollar mark, I'll give you $200. Don't forget that these non-discretionary bonuses have to be factored into your overtime rate. What does that mean? If you have a guy that makes $20 an hour and he's getting these like kind of target-based bonuses periodically throughout the year, you might be paying this guy $30 an hour or time and a half, but they probably are owed $32 or $33. It gets a little bit complicated on how you calculate this stuff, but the general idea is, guys, if you have overtime and you're paying these bonuses out there consistently, you probably need to increase that overtime rate. If you're confused about that and you're one of my clients, shoot me a message. We'll walk you through it. If you are not one of my clients, I really would reach out to your payroll provider or your accountant on it. But again, if you're not one of my clients and you still don't know where to reach and want some guidance on that one, shoot me a message. I've talked about it on here before. But yeah, guys, really, any sort of taxes, obviously, I don't want to play around with, but sales tax and overtime. You guys are not as scared of those two as you should be, and I am. So just a reminder on that one. So let's go down to the positives of paying hourly. And I think that these are pretty straightforward, but like we said, it is the easiest pay plan of all. How much am I going to make, boss? Well, if you're going to be here 40 hours and you make $100 an hour, you're going to make whatever, $4,000 a week. If you're not here that many hours, you're going to make less. Pretty straightforward. Especially from your side, from your cash flow planning side, from your business side, consistent paychecks for every employee. Good or bad week, I know what this stuff is going to cost. Generally, a better team culture. Everyone is there to make sure that the business does well, probably not quantifiable in the same language, but everyone kind of has a common goal. We want the business to do well. If the business does well, we assume that we're going to be able to get paid. Compared to flat rate, where we have a little bit more of everyone running their own businesses in the shop, salary and hourly is, hey guys, we're all getting paid. Let's have a good time. Let's do some work. And yeah. I mean, like we mentioned above, time off, vacation, rates on that stuff, super, super easy because it's how pretty much everyone else in the world gets paid. Well, Hunt, sounds like salary and hourly are pretty good. Well, yeah, but they have one big thing and probably the biggest downside to this is if you have a straight up salary hourly plan, it is very, 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 very hard to motivate your team to do more. If you're at 70% productivity, you're trying to go to 75% on salary hourly. You know, is that crazy? No, this is manager. This is tips and tricks. But when I talk to my shops that are at 40% productivity, right, or even worse, and they need to get to 70%, that kind of becomes a roadblock. When I have a salary hourly shop that is trying to significantly increase their production, I always say this, you got to talk to your team. Everyone has to be on the same page, but you're about to have a really, really, really weird conversation with them. The way that it looks is this. Hey guys, I would like you to double your work, double your production, double my sales, and you're going to make the same amount of money. You're going to say it differently, but that is what you're saying. These guys get paid $30 an hour hourly, whether they're billing out 40 hours or 20 hours. if you have a team that does not have great production, can you go to them and still stay on an hourly or salary plan? Absolutely. I've had shops do this. A couple ways to go about it. The most common example is kind of like a four-day work week. Salary and hourly is a privilege, right? It assumes that we're going to be at this level of production. You guys like the consistent paychecks on here. And if this doesn't change, we're going to go back to something where, you know, you lose, I lose, and vice versa. Honestly, having this conversation goes back to what we talked about before. It's very hard to go and have these people do more work if they're not going to get paid more money. But again, having these same conversations, you might find out what a lot of my clients find out is they are willing to do more work, but even if it's a smaller portion of their pay, we're probably going to have to get some sort of commission or some sort of skin in the game. Put yourself in their shoes. They are their own business. If you could get paid $1,000 a week and you did build 20 hours or build 60, which one would you do? You know, don't be surprised when people are leveraging the incentives that you might have provided for them. Lastly, on here on the negatives is this one does not manage itself. The technician's paycheck does not tell them how many hours they turned. And honestly, the amount of hours and sometimes the cognizance of that kind of goes out the window for salary and hourly shops. Not in a bad way, but a lot of times when we see that production fall and they go and they talk to the team is generally surprised to hear that because they don't want to lose their job. They like working for you guys. But if they are not motivated, if they're not compensated by the amount of hours that they turn, what we find is a lot of these guys just don't start tracking it as much. Now we went down through hourly, now that we went down through salary and flat rates on this, let's talk about the others, right? And like I said, there is an infinite amount of pay plans that I've seen out there. But before you go and you do this, the most important thing is that they can understand this. Guys, if you are trying to motivate someone to change their behavior, they need to be able to understand what they're trying to do. And most importantly, they need to be able to have the control to change this. So you might be saying to yourself, Hunt, what the heck are you talking about? I will put this back to you guys. Some of you guys are paying your technicians based off of total sales, some percentage or some ratio to total sales. Do your technicians have any control on total sales? No. Do they have control on labor sales? I will argue again that they don't have any control of labor sales. They're not sent your labor rate. They're not sent your parts metric at all. Even if you want to say, hey, I'm going to pay them off a gross profit. Why? They didn't mark these jobs up. They didn't set the labor rates on this. They didn't set the parts matrix. Your advisor sold the job. They had one job and one job alone as a technician. That's the turn labor hours. When we talk about manager, we talk about counter people. They control a lot of different things. They pull a lot of different levers. Technician has one goal, one responsibility, one controllable, and that's labor hours. Like I said, I kind of mentioned this before, the most popular option outside of these two would be what we call a hybrid hourly or flat rate system. So like this is what we are talking about when I kind of mentioned California flat rate. So the whole idea behind California flat rate and why you can't do flat rate is because they're very kind of stuck on the hourly side of this. And if you go too low on this, you could actually be below the minimum wage and get into big, big trouble. What most of my clients do, and some people do this even if they're outside of California, it's just kind of a similar idea, is they are all on an hourly-based pay plan. But that hourly rate changes based on how much production that they have. The way that it generally looks like this is you're hourly, I'm going to pay you $25 an hour. But if you get above 30 hours, I'm going to bump it up to 26. If you give above 30 hours or 35 hours, I'm going to bump up to 28. And if you flag more than 40 hours, I'm going to pay you at the rate of 32. What you're saying is you're saying, I'm going to pay you no matter what if you're in the building, but I'm going to pay you more if you're doing more work for me. Does this work out to look very similar to a flat rate with a very, very high guarantee? Yeah. So this is kind of that in-between between flat rate and hourly or salary. Do a lot of people go out there and do some sort of just flat spiff amount on salary and hourly? Yes, that is probably the most common. Like I said, we want to make this super, super simple. If you have a goal for your three technicians that you want each of them, you know, combine whatever it is to hit 100 hours, and that's really all they need to do, then why don't you just come up with some sort of straight spiff system? Guys, very simple. You're averaging about 90 hours right now. I need you to be at 100. You know what that difference is worth, right? And depending on what your labor rates, it's tens of thousands of dollars probably, especially spread out throughout the year. most common thing that people do is they say, hey, if you go and you get me that 10 extra hours, you know, which could give me $3,000-$4,000 back, I'll give you each a spiff of $100. Now you might be saying to yourself, well, Hunt, that's cheap, right? You're not paying a whole lot back on the spiff. But if my net checks for these guys is like $1,000, they're getting a 10% pay bump for my sales going up 10%. Don't overthink this, guys. At the end of the day, these guys want money. These guys want cash. These guys want money towards the tool truck. These guys want reimbursement for tools that they've already bought. Talk to them, get inside of their brain, figure out what makes them tick. Be honest of what you're trying to do. Be honest with your goals, be honest with your struggles, and see if a pay plan change can do something for your team. Last one on here before we wrap this up is team or individual-based pay plans. I have some notes on this one, but I'm just going to kind of talk with what I have seen. In theory, a team-based pay plan is always, always, always going to make the most sense. You have advisors, you have technicians, you have front counter people, you have parts runners, whatever. I have some people that loop the entire team on it. We have one common goal. It's for this business to grow and to make money, and it all gets chopped up to each individual person. It's cool. Kind of hard to do with different kind of departments and incentives and things like that. Now, I have a lot of other people, like I said, mentioned above, of like, I have a team of three people. I need 100 hours. And if the team does it, I'll give you guys $300, right? Or $100 a person. But it's all or nothing. If you hit 100 hours, you get money. Even if you flag 50 hours, but the other guy don't get a combined 50 total, then no one's getting this. The cool idea on the team-based pay structure is it's motivating them on what you want. You do not want one technician to blow it out of the water, especially if it's in spite of some of the other people's hours. But if they were to hit that target, you don't really care who does this. Another thing about the team-based goal is if you have the right team members in the shop, they manage this themselves. One guy's flagging 40 hours, the other guy's flagging 30 hours. They are going to make sure that that last guy flags a 30 so they all hit their team bonuses. On the flip side of that, what are some of the negatives that I've seen of people either going to a team-based pay structure, you know, creating this, transferring, or whatever? The hard part about this is it does completely change the culture of your shop. Do you want your most experienced technician, maybe your shop foreman, being the one that is going to be the disciplinarian for the shop? If you go from everyone is their individual game, everyone's pretty hunky-dory, to if Greg doesn't turn these hours these week, I don't get my $100. Those same incentives that kind of motivate the team could turn the culture a little bit sour, and we've seen that happen. Another thing that can happen sometimes is you reduce the personal motivation of each team member. For smaller shops, this is kind of less common because there's less work to go around and less variables, but in some larger shops, we have definitely seen this. One of the prime examples that I noticed this, or one of my clients noticed this and kind of shared the numbers with me, he probably had at this time around 6 technicians, maybe 7 technicians down there. Classic flat rate shop on this. They were kind of a mixture, but essentially everyone was motivated by their own production hours. Really, really good shop. Decent production, not crazy production. But again, trying to change a culture, kind of trying to create a learning-based environment. What he did is he went and said, hey, we got a learning-based environment. We need to switch this over to a team-based bonus structure. And for the first month, it was fine. For the first 6 months, they were actually up because everyone was kind of working in the same direction. We ended up talking about it about 2 years after that. So after it went up for the first 6 months, for the next 18 months, what we saw in production was kind of a consistent slide down. If we were looking at this, I mean, we might only have been down 5-10 points in productivity, but it was a 5-10 point slide where we thought we were going to get an increase on this. So lucky for my client, he listened to my advice, or wasn't my advice, he's a very smart shop owner, and talked to his people, said, guys, got to be honest, just the numbers. Here's what we used to do. Here's what we're doing now. The guys had a very open and honest conversation with them and said, boss, we do like the aspects of this. We like the idea of where this is coming from. In theory, this makes sense for all of us to get motivated. But I got to tell you, it's just really hard for me to personally get motivated. And he was talking with one of his most senior technicians that had seen the most drop off. But the way he explained it to my client made a whole lot of sense. He goes, when I was turning hours before and I was getting paid for it, that 1 hour turns into 1 hour for me. But especially when I see some other guys in the shop not pulling their end of the deal, if I got to split this thing 5 or 6 different ways, I got to do 6 hours just for me to get 1 extra hour of commission on this. Even though he had everyone kind of going in the same direction, and lowering the stakes and improving the culture, actually ended up shooting himself in the foot financially. Can you have a good culture and make a lot of money? Absolutely. Are sometimes those two trade-offs? Again, absolutely. You got to find that fine line balance. No one wants the world's best culture ever that doesn't make any money, right? That is pretty miserable. But the same flip side, you guys probably wouldn't want a business, even the most profitable one, that you dread going in there every single day. So there is no right answer here. If you think that there was something in there where I said what would work best for your shop, then you're missing the point. You should have heard stuff that sounded like your shops. You should have heard stuff that maybe sounded like mistakes that you make in the past, but I can't make this decision for you. And honestly, like I said, even you can't make this decision without the help of the team. This is a forever moving target that needs to be monitored and needs to be discussed as a shop to make sure you're all happy and your team is happy. As always, please share with friends. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas for future episodes, shoot me an email at podcast@parmalis.com. You can find the rest of the shows on the new Automotive Repair Podcast Network app on your favorite podcast listing apps. So thanks again for joining me on Business by the Numbers. Stay safe out there, and I'll talk to you all next week.
You've been listening to Business by the Numbers with Hunt Demarest on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network. Download our exclusive podcast app at automotiverepairpodcastnetwork.com because the best conversations in the industry start here. Have a question for Hunt? Check the show notes for Hunt's email or text Parmelis at 301-307-5413.